The following is a class on the Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter number 2, text number 27, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Dasatikari, recorded on June 19th, 2011, in Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Jatasya hi druva mrityu druvam janma mritasya cha tasmat aparihare arte na tvam sochitam arhasi jatasya hi druva mrityur Dhruvam janma mritasya cha tasmad aparihāryate natvam socitam arhasi yatasya hi dhruva mrityur Dhruvam janma mritasya cha tasmad aparihāryate natvam socitam arhasi. Jatasya, of one who has taken his birth, he certainly, dhruva, a fact, mrityu, death, dhruvam, it is also a fact, janma, birth, mritasya, of the dead, cha, also, tasmat, therefore, aparihārye, of that which is unavoidable. Arte, in the matter. Na, do not. Tvam, you. Shochitum, to lament. Arhasi, deserve. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. One who has taken his birth is sure to die. And after death, one who is sure to take birth again. Therefore, in the unavoidable discharge of your duty, you should not lament. Purport. One has to take birth according to one's activities of life. And after finishing one term of activities, one has to die to take birth for the next. In this way, one is going through one cycle of birth and death after another without liberation. This cycle of birth and death does not, however, support unnecessary murder, slaughter, and war. But at the same time, violence and war are inevitable factors in human society for keeping law and order. The Battle of Kurukshetra, being the will of the Supreme, was an inevitable event, and to fight for the right cause is the duty of a Kshatriya. Why should he be afraid of or agree to the death of his relatives, since he was discharging his proper duty? He did not deserve to break the law, therefore becoming subjected to the reactions of sinful acts of which he was so afraid. By avoiding the discharge of his proper duty, he would not be able to stop the death of his relatives, and he would be degraded due to his selection of a wrong path of action. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Varakamala Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupa Sagrajata Sagana Raghunatanvita Sajiva Sadaita Svaduta Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Deva Shri Radha Krishna Paran Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha So, how to understand the position of Arjuna? One may ask, why should we want to study the position of Arjuna? What is the relevancy of studying the position of Arjuna, some warrior 5,000 years ago? Actually, to study the situation of Arjuna is the most relevant topic. Because Arjuna is placing himself by the divine arrangement of the Lord into our position. We are in the position of Arjuna. So when Krishna is speaking to Arjuna to enlighten him in the science of self-realization, in the science of the self, Atma Tattva, actually Krishna is speaking to us. Arjuna is simply taking the role of a conditioned living entity, even though he's an eternally liberated soul. He's an eternal associate of the Lord. I was surprised to read the other day where Prabhupada is saying, actually Arjuna, he eternally remains in this material world. His pastimes with Krishna are here in this material world. Prabhupada is saying, he doesn't go to the spiritual world, he stays here. Of course, what does he do during the non-manifestations? That'd be an interesting question, when the universe is not manifested. But Arjuna is a very, very special devotee, very, very dear, eternal associate of the Lord. He takes the role of a conditioned soul, a soul who is bewildered by the modes of material nature, a soul who is bewildered by bodily consciousness, a soul who is bewildered by the disease known as I, me, and mine. Arjuna is not like this. But he is taking this role for us, for our sake, because that is our position. We are bewildered by I, me, and mine. We are bewildered by the three modes of material nature. We are contaminated by lust, by anger, by greed, by madness, by illusion, by envy. So Arjuna is very merciful upon us by taking this, participating this way, play the role of a conditioned soul. So that by hearing and observing, through studying the Bhagavad Gita, how Arjuna became liberated from his bewildered condition. We, conditioned living entities who are bewildered by bodily consciousness, we can also become liberated. We simply have to follow the Arjuna Marg. How Arjuna became liberated, we must follow in his footsteps. Therefore, Arjuna is Acharya. He is showing how, by his example, how to come out of illusion, how to come out of delusion and confusion and come to the perfect position, Krishna consciousness. So if we study this wonderful example of Arjuna, then we can make our lives perfect. Karpanya dosho pahata svabhava pachitame tvang dharma samuddha cheta yat shreyan sya nishchitan bruhitan me shishashtehang shadimang tvang prapanam. This is Arjuna's wonderful, wonderful statement in chapter 2, text number 7. He says, now I am bewildered. I'm confused about my duty. I've lost all composure due to miserly weakness. In this condition, I am begging you to tell me clearly what is best for me. Now I am your disciple and a soul surrendered unto you. Please instruct me. This is the mood, you see. This is how we get out of confusion and delusion. This is how we get out of bewilderment. We have to become a disciple. Just as Arjuna became disciple, we must also become disciple. If Krishna is personally present, we can pray to Krishna. But if Krishna is not, then we have to see where is the representative of Krishna? Where is the bona fide spiritual master? Someone may say, well, I understand Arjuna becoming enlightened and bewildered. I mean, after all, he's there on the chariot with Krishna 5,000 years ago. What about me? You know, here I am working a job in Kuala Lumpur, raising a family. I mean, how could I get liberated? But the potency is the same. Whether you're Arjuna on the battlefield 5,000 years ago, or you're a housewife, or a student, or a professional, or a businessman here in Kuala Lumpur, it's the same thing. It simply depends on the quality of hearing, that's all. If you will hear either from Krishna or you will hear from Krishna's representative, the bona fide spiritual master, with full attention, with full faith, shraddha, you see, unflinching faith. What is that verse? Shvetashvatara Upanishad 6:23. Yashya Devi Para Bhaktir. Tatave deve tata guru tasyaiti kitata yarta prakashanti mahatmana. Unto those souls who have unflinching faith in the words of Krishna and in the words of Sri Guru, all the imports of Vedic knowledge are revealed to them. So you don't have to be 5,000 years ago on the battlefield of Guru Chakra. Right here, right now, today in Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia, if you have unflinching faith in the words of Krishna and Guru, you can get the same benefit of Arjuna. You can become an enlightened soul just by hearing this message and then taking it into your heart with full faith, full determination, and then executing it without deviation. You see? We simply have to be very, very determined. That's all. Unflinching, unwavering determination. Once you've understood the truth, now you have to be very pakka, very solid in your determination to practice what you have realized. And who is the Acharya of determination? That little sparrow. You know that little sparrow. We worship that little sparrow. She is our hero. You know the little sparrow. Everyone knows the little sparrow. I love that little sparrow. She's such a great guru for me, that little sparrow. She laid her eggs, and then that rascal, nasty ocean, ha ha, he stole the eggs away. Ha ha ha. You little bird, I'm going to torture you and have some fun, you see, and steal your eggs away. So that little sparrow, she was so distraught. You have taken my eggs. You must give them back. Please give them. You must. No way. I'm not giving the eggs back. So what to do? This little sparrow knew the ocean will not return the eggs. All right, I will try up the ocean. So she's running down, put her little beak in the water, takes some doop, little water, running back up to the dry land, deposit those drops. Running back down, take some water, running back up, depositing the water again and again and again. Everybody's laughing. Just see that little stupid bird? She's going to drop dead in a few minutes. They're all laughing at her, you see. How wicked and cruel and sadistic they were. Yes, torture a poor little bird like them. But she didn't care for their laughing. She was determined. I'm going to get those eggs. I'm going to dry up the ocean or I'm going to die trying. She was determined. Well, it just so happened that she had a very powerful big brother named Garuda, the carrier of Lord Vishnu, who was invested with all mystic powers. And when he learned how they were torturing and laughing at his little sister, the sparrow, he became very, very angry. And he came immediately, he took off, he came swooping in a great anger. And he told that ocean, you better give those eggs back right now or I will dry you up. And that ocean knew, I better give those eggs back or I'm finished. He returned the eggs, you see. So what does Prabhupada say is the moral of the story? God helps those who help themselves. If you will make that effort, you may say it's impossible. How I can be Krishna conscious? I have to, oh, so many pressures, I gotta go to work, and I got this duty, that duty, 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 stacked million duties. How can I squeeze Krishna conscious into all of this? I just don't see how I can do it. It's not possible. How can I do it? But no, remember the little sparrow. You must always remember that great acharya of determination, that little sparrow. You see? And you must be very, very determined to become the pure devotee of Krishna as soon as possible. Why? Because death can come at any time. Can anybody guarantee they will live for one more week? How about one more hour? Can anybody guarantee they will live for another 60 seconds? Cannot guarantee. At any minute we can drop dead. It's proven again and again and again. I heard the tragic story of one of your leaders here. It was a great tragedy. No one thought, finished. Could be any one of us in any minute. That's it. So we must be determined to be Krishna conscious. We must be determined to be purely fixed in Krishna consciousness every day, at every minute. We don't have time to play around with Maya. We don't have time. We have to become serious, become pure devotees now. Let me chant the names purely, Shuddhanam. Let the Shuddhanam vibrate on my lips. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Someone may say, well, why should I aspire? I mean, I'm so far from pure devotion. Why should I even bother aspiring for it? Isn't it kind of isn't it delusional to aspire for pure devotional service? No, we must hanker. Because that hankering brings us more quickly to the goal. If you're desiring pure devotional service, if you're desiring to come free from the lust, the anger, the greed, the madness, illusion, the envy, the laziness, and all the bad qualities that are polluting our hearts, if you intensely desire to get free from those things, that will definitely accelerate your progress. That intense hankering is very important. Bhaktivinoda Thakur is so nicely shown that mood in his songs, Kabbe Habbe Bolo Se Dinamar. He's intensely desiring. When will my offenses be over? When will I get an increasing taste for the name? When in my heart will your mercy shine? Kabbe Habbe Bolo Se Dinamar. When will that day be mine? You see how Bhaktivinoda is intensely hankering? You see? Lower than a blade of grass. More tolerant than a tree. When will my mind attain this quality? Respectful to all, not expecting their honor. Then in my heart will your mercy shine. When, oh when, will that day be mine? You see? He's hankering, intensely hankering. When I'm going to come out of this maya? When I'm going to come out of this delusion? When will I be able to run on the bank of the Ganges in Navadvipa, chanting Gaura Nityananda like a madman? You see, he's hankering like this. We have to study these songs of these great acharyas like Narottam Das and Bhaktivinoda and understand the mood that we need to be in every day. Every day we have to be in this mood. They're teaching us by their wonderful songs. What is the mood of a person who is advancing in Krishna consciousness, very solidly advancing? He's always hankering. When will I get out of this maya? When will I get the full mercy of Lord Nityananda? You see, in this way, begging, pleading, hankering. If we can take these wonderful, wonderful teachings that we are getting by the mercy of Prabhupada, we can sincerely apply them, we'll be living in another world. We won't be living in this material world anymore. We can live in the spiritual world at every minute. We simply have to be very sincere to purify our hearts. The only requirement is sincerity. It's the only requirement. If you go to some corporation and apply for a job, they want to know what technical skills do you have so you can hit the ground running at this job. You see? Say, well, I don't really know anything about this and that, but I am sincere. They say, forget it. We don't need you. We need somebody who has the technical skills. You see? But in Krishna consciousness, you don't have to have any great quality. You can even be from a family of dog eaters. It doesn't matter. All you have to do is be sincere. You see? Just like that famous history, that boy, the spiritual master, he was taking disciples. So he wanted to become a disciple. And the guru said, well, you know, I only take Brahmins as disciples. So what is your caste, young boy? He said, well, I don't know. I'll have to go check with my mother. The mother actually was a prostitute. So you can imagine what caste he was in. So he asked the mother, my dear mother, who is my father? She said, my dear son, I'm very sorry to tell you, I don't know who your father is, because I've been enjoyed by many, many men. I cannot say who is your father. So he went back to the Guru Maharaj. He said, Guru Maharaj, I don't know what my caste is. My mother has been enjoyed by many, many men. He said, oh, then you are Brahman, you are honest. I will accept you. So simply we require that sincerity. No other qualification. No academic qualification, no amount of money, no amount of, not that you have to be good looking. Doesn't matter. Simply sincerity. If you're sincere, then you are a first-class candidate for becoming the pure devotee of Krishna in this lifetime. Simply sincerity is all that's required. Then we have to then apply that sincerity by sincerely engaging in the process. Try our best to rectify our faults. Don't become proud. Don't become puffed up thinking, yes, I am a great devotee. I've memorized some slokas. I know how to do this. I know how to play a few drum beats. So now I'm a great Paramahamsa. I remember when godbrother of mine, back in the old days, in the Brahmachari Ashram, he very proudly told us, he said, "They just call me the Paramahamsa Brahmachari." And within a year or two, he was gone from this company. His name was Riksharaj Das Brahmachari. I haven't heard from him. He made a real flashy bhajan tape in India. It was sold by the Bhaktivedanta Tape Ministry. And he's long gone. Never heard of him ever since. He was very proudly saying he was the Paramahamsa Brahmachari. So, Prabhupada said the quality of a Vaishnava, the 26th quality is he is silent. Silent worker. He's not demanding recognition. He said, "Recognize me, I am great." No, that is not Vaishnava. That is a Vaishnava. The real Vaishnava, he's simply happy to serve. He doesn't need any recognition. Of course, we should recognize the devotees to encourage them. That's our duty. It's our duty to recognize the devotees. But the devotee, he doesn't demand any recognition. He simply wants that Krishna should be recognized. It's like Prabhupada, you see. There's so many other movements. Hare Krishna movement is widely known, that name. But it wasn't known as the Bhaktivedanta Swami movement. You see. Prabhupada was putting forward the Hare Krishna became a household word. More well known than the name of Prabhupada in the general society. So many people have heard of Hare Krishna. So Prabhupada was putting forward Krishna. He wasn't putting forward Bhaktivedanta Swami, the Bhaktivedanta Swami movement. You see. It's like other movements. Like the Swami Narayan people, you see. The leader is putting his own name forward, you see. But this is not the Swami Bhaktivedanta movement, you see. This is the greatness of Srila Prabhupada. Humble. He's simply wanting to put forward Krishna so the whole world can become Krishna conscious. So in this way we should learn from Srila Prabhupada. Not that I have to be recognized, you see. No, I want that Krishna should become recognized by everyone throughout the world. The whole world is suffering due to a lack of Krishna consciousness. And if we can somehow bring them to Krishna consciousness, all of their problems will be solved. All of their problems. So, this is our mission in the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. We want to awaken everyone throughout the entire world Krishna consciousness. This will solve all their problems. At the present moment, practically everyone is rebellious against God, even the so-called God-conscious people. They're all coming to God, "Give me this, give me that, give me, give me, give me." They want to use God for their sense enjoyment. This is not love of God. This is love of matter. Everyone, the Hindus, the Muslims, the Christians, the Jews, the Sikhs, the Jains, the Buddhists, everyone is going and begging for material things. A big mistake. Very big mistake. Because you're going to get your material things anyway by your putting your karma. It's coming by your karma anyway. So why are you putting so much energy in this way? Give me this, give me that. If we put our energy, how to get love of God? That is worth it. That is worth it. Everything else is waste. You may pray for money, you may get money, you may pay for a beautiful wife, you may get these things, but how long you will keep them? They will come and they will go. That's it. They come and they go. The whole life is just like a flash in eternity. This whole life is nothing but a split second in eternity. We take this spot life so seriously as if it's the all in all, but it's not. It's just a little flash in eternity. It's all it is. This whole life that we live, this 80 years, whatever it may be, it's nothing. It's nothing. We need to connect with the eternal identity of the self. We have to come to the platform of Brahman. You see, that is required. Spiritual platform. Come to the actual identity beyond this drama of this material existence, beyond these 8,400,000 species. It's like in the drama, one actor, he will play different roles. In Act One, he's such and such character. In Act Two, he's another character. You see, he plays different roles. There's so many costumes. So, Shakespeare said, life is a stage. And in this stage of life, there are 8,400,000 different types of characters, you see. 8,400,000 different types of costumes. And so we're wearing them. In one act, we wear this costume. In the next act, we wear a different costume. You see, it's simply a drama going on here. Cycle of birth and death. Now we're wearing this particular costume. It's not me. Come to your actual identity beyond all of these chains of body. That is Krishna consciousness. Jivara Svarupa Hoy, Krishnara Nichedas. In the constitutional position of the living entity is that he is the eternal servant of Krishna. That position we must come to. We have our identity beyond this body. Each one of us is an eternal associate of the Lord. But somehow or other, we foolishly gave up that position we had in Krishna's pastime. And we came to this material world to try to be strike out on our own and be Lord ourselves. Why should I serve the Lord? I would like to be the Lord. That was the foolish mentality that brought us here to this cycle of birth and death. Krishna is giving us a chance. Oh, you want to be the center? You want to consider yourself the center of existence? All right. If you're really determined, you have to. You want to experience that, I'll let you try it and see how you like it. It's like that fish, you know, he kind of looks up, he sticks his head up in the water, he sees the people walking on the beach, he thinks, what is it like to be up there on the beach? They look, they're having a good time up there, walking along in their bathing suits. He thinks, I'd like to try being on the land, you see. So when tide comes in, he kind of pushes him, he jumps a little bit, he gets on the dry land. Could he be happy on that dry land? No. All he can do is flap in agony until he dies. Unless somehow or other he's put back into the water. So here we are flapping in agony in this material existence. We thought it would be kind of nice to be independent of Krishna. To be my own little Krishna. You see. But it didn't work. It was a stupid mistake. But Krishna is very kind. He doesn't say, okay, you rascal, now you suffer forever. No, Christians say that. You see, you'll burn in hell forever. Actually, Christ never taught such a principle. He concocted these stupid ideas. You see. So, Krishna is very kind. He personally comes, yada yada hi dharmasham granir bhavati bhavata. He sends his pure devotees here. He appears in the form of the spiritual master also to deliver us. He appears in the form of the deities. He appears in the form of the holy names. He appears in the most merciful form. What is that? Gulab Jamun. ISKCON bullets. The Gulab Jamun incarnation, you see. So Krishna is very kind. I remember when I was first coming around, I was a young lad and a spiritual seeker. I moved into the temple not to surrender, but just to check it out, to see what it was all about. And I told them, I'm just checking it out. And they said, that's okay. Come on, you're welcome. But I noticed the philosophy was, you have to please the spiritual master. And of course, Prabhupada, I was in a little outpost temple out in Austin, Texas. I was wondering, how do you please the spiritual master? If he's in India somewhere, if he's in Los Angeles, how do you do it? I mean, how do you please the spiritual master when he's not even here? And I was thinking like that. But then I noticed in the fourth verse of the Srivastakam verse, the spiritual master is pleased when he sees the devotees taking Bhagavat Prasad. And I go, oh yes, I can handle this Krishna consciousness. I can take Prasad and please Prabhupada by taking Prasadam. All right. So it's not difficult. All you have to do is take Prasadam. And the spiritual master, even if he's not physically present, by the medium of the super soul within the heart, the spiritual master will accept your honoring Prasadam as the most wonderful thing and bestow all mercy upon you just for taking Prasadam. And Prabhupada was so kind in this regard. Actually, Vishnu Jana Swami, who made me a devotee, is a real hero for me. He convinced me to surrender to this Prabhupada. But anyway, he one time asked Srila Prabhupada. He said, because they had, in those days, people were joining the temples just like every day somebody would surrender. And he said, Prabhupada, if somebody just, all they want to do is take prasadam, is that okay? They don't want to do anything else except take prasadam. Is that all right? And Prabhupada said, as long as they chant Hare Krishna between each bite, they can take prasadam all day long. Prabhupada was so kind. He said, of course, not that one should remain like that. But this is the mercy of Prabhupada, you see. So let everyone come. Everyone come to this Krishna consciousness. Everyone is welcome. Come on. Take prasadam, be happy, sing and dance, and hear the wonderful glories of Krishna. That all powerful, all beautiful, all renowned, all knowledgeable, all wealthy, all famous, most amazing person who's standing on the bank of the Jamuna at Keshi Ghat in the moonlit night of the Sharad season, playing the fifth note on his flute, attracting the gopis. I mean, that Krishna is really amazing, you know. He's so powerful. If you would just see Krishna, you would forget everything about material life. Just seeing him, 1 second's darshan. He's so powerful. Actually, Rupa Goswami has written in his drama, Vidanga Madhava. One gopi girl, she has been Krishnized. She had her darshan. And she's completely Krishnized. She's lost all her material desires. But she has no more taste for family, society, friendship, and love. And then she sees one of her gopi girlfriends there in Braj, who's still within her society, friendship, and love bubble. And she's warning her gopi girlfriend, Smaran bangi traya parachitam sati visir nindishtim pangsi nishta kishalayam ujvalam chandrakena govendakam haritangam itaha krishni tirthubakante ma prakshishtashta vyati sake bandhu sangesti rangaha. My dear gopi girlfriend, if you have any desire to continue to enjoy society, friendship, and love in this material world, then don't you dare go down tonight to the bank of the Jamuna in Keshika and see the smiling face of that boy Govinda. He's casting sidelong glances, and he's placing his flute to his lips, which are like newly blossomed twigs. His transcendental body, bending in three places, is very, very bright in the moonlight. So do not go. Do not go. Do not go. So what did that gopi do when she heard that? She immediately went, I have to see this boy. I got to go check out this boy Govinda standing there in threefold bending form, you see. So that is the amazing Krishna, you see. He captures the heart of everyone. So we can warn them, if you have any desire to enjoy society, friendship and love, and don't you dare come to our temple. Don't you dare take prasadam. Don't you dare even touch one of these books. Don't you dare come close to our Ratha-yatra festival. It's called reverse psychology. Everybody wants to do the forbidden thing. Is it? If there's something that's disallowed, everybody wants, just like the Adam and Eve story, you know, the forbidden apple. You can enjoy everything here in the Garden of Eden, but this one thing you cannot have. That's what Eve wanted the most. It was the forbidden thing. So this gopi, she was using this psychology on her. She actually wanted her gopi girlfriend to go there. She wanted her to also fall in love with Krishna, you see? See, in this material world, we're very selfish, you see. If I fall in love with somebody, I want to keep them to myself. I don't want anybody else to have fall in love with them. One that I fall in love with, you see. But in spiritual life, it's different. This gopi was completely fall in love with Krishna. She wants her gopi girlfriend to also fall in love with Krishna. You see. This is the difference between spiritual life and material life. You see. In spiritual life, there's no envy. Material life means envy, 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 envy. Radharani is the perfect emblem of non-enviousness. Papa told us in London on the Radhastami day that how we should pray to Radharani. This way he said to pray. My dear mother, just see it, Radharani's mother. My dear mother Radharani, please tell about me to your Krishna. And then Prabhupada explained that Radharani, she will tell Krishna, my dear Krishna, just see this devotee, he is better than me. So what will Krishna do? He will meet it. Oh, a devotee better than Radharani. Let me see who is this devotee better than Radharani. Who is this devotee better than Radharani? You see? Krishna will immediately want to see. In this way, Radharani, she's always wanting to push everyone to Krishna. This is why before we chant Krishna, what do we say? Hare! We are calling out to Radharani, my dear mother Radharani, Hare! You see? When we say Hare, then Radharani says, oh, Krishna, just see this person. He's a better devotee than me. And then we say Krishna, then Krishna is tuned in. We say Hare, it tunes Krishna in. Get him ready to hear you say Krishna. Hare Krishna. You see? So this is the mood of the Vaishnava, you see. The Vaishnava is in Radharani's mood. That's the real Vaishnava. He's humble. He always wants to push everyone forward. Everyone forward. Not that, oh, I am great. Prabhupada many times had to chastise us for that, you see. As his disciples, we would think, yeah, I am great. One of my godbrothers, Hari Vilas Prabhu, he told the story when Prabhupada came to Paris. He was the temple president. So the devotees were all there. He came a little late to the meeting, and the room was packed. So he pushed everyone aside so he could come to the front and sit right by Prabhupada, you see. And Prabhupada didn't even look at him. He didn't even acknowledge he was present in the room. He never even looked. He completely ignored Hari Vilas Prabhu. He was the temple president. Papa totally ignored him. He made this big thing. Everybody had to move aside so he could come and sit right by Prabhupada. Prabhupada completely ignored him. And then There was one humble devotee who was doing the translations, you see, of the books into French language. He was way in the back of the room. And Bob said, "Who was doing the translations?" And he gave all attention to the devotee way there in the back of the room. So Prabhupada had, we have this tendency, yeah, I am great, I'm going to push myself forward and be recognized. You see? But Prabhupada taught us, no, I don't recognize such devotees. You're a rascal. I recognize those who are humble servants. You see? So, we all want to attract the attention of Krishna. We all want to become dear to Krishna. It is called Krishna Priya. So just become the humble servant of the servant of the servant of the servant. And immediately Krishna will recognize. You see? Of course, to be desire to be recognized by Krishna, that is very good. I remember when I was a young brahmachari, I had this great anxiety in my heart that I was separated so many miles away from where Prabhupada was. But I was always hearing devotees who had been with Prabhupada on the morning walk, who had been with Prabhupada in his room, telling that Prabhupada said this, Prabhupada said that, Prabhupada did this, he looked at me, he said this, and it was just too much for me. I was getting so envious. And finally, I just had to write Prabhupada. Prabhupada, I have this big problem. I'm envious of my godbrothers. What to do? And I was really surprised by his answer. Instead of saying, yeah, here's how you get over it. No, he said, spiritual envy means when you see someone is being recognized more than you by Krishna, you should try harder so Krishna will recognize you also. So desire to be recognized is not bad. But we have to understand the proper mood, you see. First class service, not just by pushing yourself forward, no. By doing first class service, that's the way to be recognized automatically by Krishna. It's not wrong to desire to be recognized, but to want to push other people down and push yourself forward, that's wrong. That's material envy. But to want to do first class service, to chant very, very good rounds so Krishna goes, wow, just hear how this devotee is calling out to me. You see? That is very good. To want Krishna, to want to desire to be recognized by Krishna is very good. One has to know what is the technique. That is all. So in this way, if one can understand what is the science of Krishna consciousness very nicely, by hearing from Guru, by hearing from sadhus, by hearing from Shastra, if one will take it upon oneself to become very much educated in the science of bhakti. This is why Prabhupada instructed us to have bhakti shastri, bhakti vaibhava, bhakti vedanta, bhakti sarvabhama, levels of academic, transcendental academic qualification. We should be well learned in the bhakti science. One person was writing me a letter. He was saying that Prabhupada only gave very introductory knowledge and we have to read the Goswamis to get the higher level knowledge. I was shocked that somebody would say that. And I asked him, have you read all of Prabhupada's books? He said, no. But then I pointed him to Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Leela, chapter 22, and he realized that Prabhupada is giving all the high level stuff. Everything, the introductory level, the intermediate level, the high level, Prabhupada's giving everything in his books. You don't have to go anywhere else outside of Prabhupada's books. Everything. Introductory, intermediate, and the highest PhD level. Even that esoteric Raganuga Bhakti. It's all there in the Prabhupada book. Everything is there. Now we are on the neophyte level. We're struggling down at the level of anartha nivritti, trying to get free from our anarthas. And even If one is on that liberated platform, he will present himself as someone who is on the struggling platform to show example for others. You see? Even a liberated soul, he will present himself as a struggling neophyte just to show the example for us struggling neophytes. Just like in Boston, what did Prabhupada say? He told us this. He said, I'm always praying to Krishna that I won't fall down. One sannyasi, he very aptly noted, that's why he'll never fall down. You see? If one has that mood of always calling out to the spiritual master, always calling out to the previous acharyas, please protect me from Maya. See, that devotee is safe. That devotee who feels I'm in a dangerous position, I have to beg for protection, that devotee is safe. That devotee who thinks, you know, I'm pretty advanced now, Prabhus. I'm pretty advanced now. You make sure you're off your obeisances every time you see me now. I'm pretty advanced. They're in a very dangerous position. So anyway, we have a few minutes left. If there's any questions, you can pass them forward. All right, the first question. Gurudev Hare Krishna, what is the nature of people who complain about Prabhupada's movement and the temple management? Are they devotees? I remember the first time I heard somebody criticize the GBC, I was shocked. It's way back in 72. I was shocked because Prabhupada had established the GBC. That was like, it was Prabhupada's idea that should be a GBC. And one godbrother, he said, there's a saying in English, somebody has a chip on their shoulder attitude. It's like a negative attitude. He said, GBC means got a big chip. I have a negative attitude. I was shocked. How could he say this? But of course, that devotee who was saying bad things against the GBC, he finally had a darshan with Prabhupada in Los Angeles. At that time, he had grown a mustache also. In those days, nobody had mustache. And he was defending that Prabhupada, didn't like that he had a mustache. And he said, Prabhupada, but you had a mustache when you were a householder. That picture in the Bhagavatam, you know. Prabhupada said, that was before my diksha. Prabhupada didn't accept that argument. You see? So actually, Prabhupada wanted after diksha, mustache is gone, finished. You see? So, this devotee was arguing, you know. He didn't want to take the authority of the devotees. He was really, really adamant. You know? And it was shocking, actually. You know what Prabhupada told him? The instruction that Prabhupada gave him? He said, just earn money and enjoy. In other words, get out of this movement. We don't need you here. I mean, that was Prabhupada's attitude. Just go earn money, and he did it. He left. He obeyed Prabhupada and left. I mean, he was so much finding fault with the management. You see. It's just his lording and over mentality. He wanted to be the Lord, that's all. So we don't say the management. Our managers don't say that they're Paramahamsas, they're doing everything perfectly. They're sincere devotees, though. I mean, there are some scandals sometimes that manager may be in breaking the principles. We will remove such managers, you see. The movement will go on. Sometimes there are legitimate complaints about the management. But if one is a sincere devotee, his mood is to help the managers, you see, not to undercut their authority. He wants to help them. Prabhupada so much emphasized to me the importance of offering respect to the managers of the temples. In fact, he told me, and we wrote me one letter, he said, do whatever the temple president says without questioning whether it's right or wrong. Prabhupada really wanted to instill this idea that we should be faithful to the leaders that he's given us. Just like if you work for some company, you have a supervisor, don't you have to follow your supervisor? If not, you'll lose your job, isn't it? You can't disobey your supervisor, you're working for a company. You're out if you do that, you see. So that kind of a move we should have in ISKCON also. We have a duty to follow our leaders. It's not that, you know. I remember Vishnu Jamaraj told us, he said, if everybody's the chief, and who's going to be the Indians? Not the Indian, I'm talking about the red Indians, you know. There's an Indian tribe with a chief, and then there's the Indian tribe, the red Indians in America. So if everybody's going to be a chief, and who's going to be the Indian? If everybody's, well, I'm going to be the leader. I'm going to be the leader. Everybody's got a leader, then who's going to follow? We should all agree to be followers, you see. That person is the most qualified to be the leader, and he's the most dedicated to being a follower. You see. See, we have a tendency, a lording and over tendency. Yes, I want to be the leader. And such people, they sometimes become leaders, but they don't last. We've seen big, big leaders in our movement. They became GBCs, gurus even, with thousands of disciples, and now they're gone. You see, they had a desire to be leader. No, we should desire to be followers. And that's how you become leader. Yad yada tadati shrestas tattarive taro jana sayat pramanam kurute lokas tadana vartate. Whatever the great man does, the common people follow in his footsteps. Whatever standard he sets by exemplary acts, all the world pursues. Bhagavad Gita chapter 3, text number 21. So you want to be a leader? And you become an acharya. You become an ideal devotee, and then the whole world will follow you. You don't need a title. You don't need to be a sannyasi or a guru or a GBC. Just be a humble, pure soul, and you can influence the whole world to take up Krishna consciousness from whatever position you're in. So people who complain about Prabhupada's movement is like the Ritvik people. You know, this whole Ritvik movement, this back to Prabhupada magazine editor, Krishnakant Desai, he was a member of our youth forum at the Bhaktivedanta Manor as a teenager. But he never called his mother and father. He always insisted as a young boy of calling him by their first name. Now, even in American culture, when I grew up as a kid, we never called, you know, their first name, my mother and father. They were always mother and father. This is the person who is the head of the Ritvik movement. He refused to call his parents mother and father. He must call them by first name. You see, he's a very proud person who doesn't want to be subordinate to anyone. So he started the Ritvik movement is going under his direction, you see. He's the head pundit of the Ritvik movement. He wants to offer respect to no one. I actually had a debate with him one time in an email. In Pamho, we had called Initiations Conference on Pamho. So I had a debate with this fellow, Krishnakant Desai. And I defeated him completely because finally, at the end of the debate, the final question that ended the debate was I asked him this. Because Prabhupada had written me a letter one time when I was a young brahmachari. He encouraged me that I could become a spiritual master in this letter. He encouraged me. I could become a spiritual master. So I wrote to Krishnakant and said, Prabhupada encouraged me that I could become a spiritual master. You say I cannot become a spiritual master. Should I listen to Prabhupada or should I listen to you? He couldn't say a word. Because if he says, no, you should listen to me, then it's obviously bogus. He doesn't want me to follow Prabhupada. He wants me to follow him. That would show. And you know, either way, he was defeated. He couldn't. He was silent. He was defeated. Of course, he won't publish it on the website or in Back to Prabhupada magazine. But he was completely defeated. He couldn't say a word. 10:30 is the cutoff. So, in this way, we have to understand these people who complain. Now, there could be people making legitimate complaints. There is not. Sometimes you can, if someone is sincere and they see something is really wrong, it's not that they're not allowed to say something to somebody. If there's a legitimate complaint, you can bring it to the attention of the authorities, to your spiritual master, to the GBC man. You can talk with the temple authorities. It's not that we're under some gag order here that nobody can say anything. If there's some problem, you have a right to say, I think there's a problem here that needs to be addressed. You have a perfect right and a duty, actually, to say something. Sometimes things are wrong. There's a whole story when in New York. I don't have much time, but I could tell that story too. But they were offering eggs to Radha Govinda, and nobody was saying anything because it's the leaders. That's a long story. But Prabhupada didn't like devotees didn't complain. Sometimes you should complain. If there's something legitimately wrong, you should complain. But if we're complaining just because, you know, I don't get to be the leader, and we're envious, and that's not good. So this question I could go on for hours, actually. So it depends. If someone is sincerely putting forward a complaint for the betterment of the society, they are a devotee. And if someone is just envious and they want to take the leadership position by criticizing the leaders, then they're rakshasas. Okay. All right. Is there any chances of we coming back to the material world, ever going back to Godhead? Yes and no. There's every chance because you still have free will, but there's no chance you would ever do it again. Once burned, twice shy. You have the free will. You could, but you won't. The free will always exists. It's not that when you go back, Krishna handcuffs you to the wall. You go back to Godhead, you have free will, you can come and go, but you'll never want to come again. That kid may burn it, stick his hand once in the fire out of curiosity, but you can't pay him to stick his hand in that fire again. We will never fall down again, I guarantee you. Once is enough. To go through all this hell, once is enough, we'll never do it again. Even though we could, we'll never do it again. How can a grahastha be Krishna conscious 24 hours? Or never forgetting Krishna. It's the same thing. A brahmachari, a grahastha, a sannyasi, a vanaprastha, everyone has the same problem. We keep forgetting Krishna. So all you have to do is remember Krishna 24 hours a day. For a householder, it is a challenge because you're going out there in the material society. But I can tell you this, Prabhupada said he recommended 16 quality rounds before sunrise on the beads. Forget this clicker junk. Chant on the beads. Prabhupada said chanting round the beads. Get up early in the morning, chant 16 rounds on the beads. But deep meditation, calling out to the Lord, and I guarantee you, you're going to have a great day. You go to that office, you're going to see Krishna within every cubicle, and every cubicle within Krishna. Because you chanted really good rounds, you see. And when you go to the water cooler to take that water break, Rasoham Mapsukanteya, Krishna says, I am the taste of water. Oh, now I get to be connected with Krishna. Prabhupada told us that in San Francisco. He said to become Krishna conscious, it is not difficult, John. He said, every day you're drinking water once, twice, thrice, more than that. If every time you drink water you remember that Krishna is the taste of the water, then immediately you become Krishna conscious. Okay. Question, Canto 3, Lord Kapila explains to his mother, devotional service executed by a person who is envious, proud, violent, and angry, and is a separatist, is considered to be in the mode of darkness. What is defined by separatist, and what way are we separatists? Well, we are separated from Krishna. It's a nice, interesting word here that Bhagavatam is using, a separatist. In politics, there might be a part of the country, they are separatists. They want to become independent from the country. It's like in Quebec, there's a separatist movement. They want to separate from Canada, become a separate country. You see, French-speaking Canadians, there's a large number of them want to become, they have a separatist movement. We want to become independent of Canada, become our own nation. So separatist means one who wants to be independent. That's our disease, you see. That separatist tendency to be independent. So, if you're doing devotional service, but you're doing it in a tamasic way, You see? It means you're using it for your own sense gratification. I want to be a big leader. I saw one man. He had a very strong desire to be a leader. He was one of our life members, a very good member of our life membership program. But he had this desire to put himself forward to be the leader. You see? And that was his motive. He had this desire, you know, that Gandhi was a great leader, and I will become also a powerful leader, you see. That was his motive, coming to this movement. And he got a big position finally, but then he left, finding fault with all the leaders, you see. So even though he was doing so much service, his mood was very proud mood. And he became very angry. He didn't get more and bigger position, bigger recognition. He became very angry. So his mood was a separatist, of wanting to have his own position. This must be the last one. I got 60 seconds there. See, how can we rectify this problem? Well, you have to get a higher taste. You have to realize you don't need anything material to be happy. You don't need a big position. I don't need this, I don't need that. There's only one thing I need, and that's Krishna consciousness. If you always realize this, the material circumstances will not satisfy you. Only Krishna consciousness will. There was one brahmachari. He was very dissatisfied. Oh, there's so many pretty brahmacharinis here. I'd like to enjoy having a girlfriend. Let me get married, you see. It's all right. He was allowed to get married. Then he thought, what is this? Now I'm stuck with this woman, and I think I'd like to be a sannyasi. Yes. So he wrote Prabhupada, now I want to take sannyas, Prabhupada. Just immediately. As soon as he got married, immediately he wanted to take sannyas. They have a saying, the grass is greener on the other side of the fence, you see. So Prabhupada didn't like it very much. He said, your unhappiness is not due to your external situation, it's due to your lack of Krishna consciousness. So that we have to realize, you see, it's not that, well, it's because of this, because of the managers, because of my ashram, because this and that. No, the only problem we have is we're lacking Krishna consciousness. Whatever position you're in, as a householder, a brahmachari, a vanaprastha, a sannyasi, whatever position you're in, if you will simply increase your Krishna consciousness, you're going to have a good day every day. You'll be smiling. Within your heart, you'll be smiling all the time. Okay, the last one now. The concept of guru means that he is a pure soul. Why many fall down? They were not pure, or someone can fall from the pure position. Okay? Well, Prabhupada says that a Kanishta Adhikari can be a guru, a Majjhima Adhikari can be a guru, and a Uttama Adhikari can be a guru. But one should be intelligent to find out a guru who is an Uttama Adhikari so he will not suffer under insufficient guidance. Now what about a guru who falls down? It's interesting, Prabhupada points out in the Nectar Devotion, the first class devotee never falls down. He says the Majjhima also never falls down. That means any guru who fell down, he was actually a Kanishta. You say, well, why did the GBC give him no objection then to be a guru if he was a Kanishta? Why did the GBC approve him? What's going on with the GBC? Have they got it wrong? What's going on there, you see? The GBC does not certify anybody as a spiritual master. All they say is, we have no objection if this person tries to be a spiritual master, because, you know, we haven't seen him falling down or preaching bogus philosophy. He's been a dedicated servant of ISKCON for so many years. So we have no objection if he tries to be a spiritual master. We have no objection. But Prabhupada says you cannot vote somebody to be a spiritual master. The acharya is self-effulgent, and he has to manifest it by his own qualities. You can't vote somebody as a guru or as an advanced devotee. We voted you as an advanced guru. By votes, now you're an advanced devotee. It's not possible. You don't become an advanced devotee by votes. You have to manifest the qualities of a sadhu, you see. So all the GBC do is weed out the obvious misfits. They can't weed out the unobvious misfits. It's not possible. to do that. So the GBC gives everyone who's not obviously a misfit, who's been, by all observations, has been a loyal member of ISKCON, preaching the philosophy as it is, serving under the authority of ISKCON, purely following the principles, they'll give all those devotees a chance to manifest as guru, you see. They're willing to give every such Prabhupada disciple the opportunity. Now, once he's in that position, now it's up to him to really be a guru, you see, to really be a spiritual master. Vacha, by controlling his mind, words, anger, tongue, belly, and genitals, you see. Some people say, actually, Ajna Prabhu was making a point in Vrindavan. He was wrong on this point. He was saying, unless the spiritual master is actually situated internally in his gopi bhav or gopa bhav with Krishna, actively engaged internally in his rasa, he cannot become a fully empowered acharya. Ajna Prabhu was making this point in Vrindavan at the Vyas Puja. It's not correct, according to Prabhupada's teachings. Srila Prabhupada states in the CC that if a devotee can purely chant the holy names of the Lord without any offense, he becomes Jagad Guru, and under his influence, the whole world will take up Krishna consciousness. He didn't say he had to come to Gopi Bhava, Gopa Bhava, within his heart, in, you know, doing two things at the same time, you know, assisting the gopis in his heart, and then it's not necessary for the spiritual master to be doing them, although he can be. And we see the great, many great acharyas are situated in them. But Arjuna is not. He's eternally in the material world, Prabhupada explains. So, the pure devotee, the Uttama and the Majjhima Adhikari, they will never fall down, Prabhupada said. But the Kanishta, he can fall down. So it's up to the disciple to study very carefully, read Prabhupada's books, and pray to Krishna for guidance. It's very important to find a bona fide spiritual master who's not going to fall down. Someone should study Prabhupada's books very, very carefully and understand what are the symptoms of someone who has controlled his mind, words, anger, tongue, belly, and genitals, who is subtly situated in Krishna consciousness. We have to find a spiritual master who will never fall down, you see. Of course, Prabhupada does say an Uttam Adhikari can also act as a Majjhim Adhikari can also act as a spiritual master. He follows the liberated soul. He said, he wrote that in a letter to Janardhan back in about 1968. But he states in his book that one should actually find an Uttam Adhikari. Otherwise one will suffer under an insufficient guidance. Uttam Adhikari is described in this way by Srila Prabhupada. The Uttam Adhikari has the unflinching faith, just as the Majjhim does, but the difference is he's very, very expert in presenting the science of Krishna consciousness in defiance of all opposing arguments, both with scripture and with logic. This is how Prabhupada distinguishes between the Majjhim and the Uttama in his books. The Majjhim, he has firm faith, but he's not so expert always in defeating the opposing arguments by logic and by scripture. But the Uttama is very, very powerful in this. That's the difference that Prabhupada explains in his books. So, our time is up. 7 minutes overtime, sorry about that. In some temples it's very strict. If I go 1 minute over, I get chastised by the temple management after the lecture. So I don't know if I'm going to get in trouble or not, but I apologize for my offense of going 7 minutes overtime, just in case. So I thank you. I'm so happy to see so many of you, especially to see Maharaj here today. I'm always enlivened to see our sannyasis. It gives great joy to my heart to see a sannyasi. And we're very happy that all of you are here today, engaged in Krishna consciousness, to be a part of this wonderful mission of Srila Prabhupada, that you can go back to Godhead, and we can convince all these rascals on this planet that let's all go back to Godhead. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Yeah.